listening to the Music Journey Podcast with Kim Sear.
Welcome back to Music's Journey Podcast, where you can hear more about the artist, the band, the lyrics, and music. I'm your host, Kim Sear. Before I jump into my interview with Weapons, there are a few things that I would like to go over first. If you enjoy today's show, please consider leaving us a rating and a review. The more positive the rating, the easier it is to find the show, and it really helps the community that we are trying to build here. If you are someone recently that's found the show, welcome. We are really excited to have you here, so please make sure you subscribe and stay tuned to future episodes. To everybody listening to this episode, take a snapshot of my interview with the Weapons and post it to your Instagram story and hashtag Music's Journey Podcast, Now and Then Magazine, and the Weapons. And that is spelled W3APONS. I will feature you in the next podcast. Without further ado, here is my interview with Weapons.
It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artists. You're listening to the Music's Journey Podcast, brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With your special guests, here's your host, Kim Sear.
It is always a great day when the hard-hitting rock band Weapons release new music.
Yes, it is!
The band's debut single, Off the Top of My Heart, reached number 11 on the Canadian Active Rock charts independently in 2019. They have remained in the top 30 with their next three releases in Canada, including their first top 10 by Baby Gone. This band is full of grit, heart, and hard work, something I appreciate so much. Doing it the old-fashioned way, hitting the road and getting one fan at a time. And now they're here, back with their new single, Unnecessary Evil, from their brand new EP, Adios Radio. Welcome to the show, Mick and Jordan from The Weapons. We love having you guys back. Are you kidding me? I've been waiting. 6 months is a long time to wait for a new single.
Yeah, I guess so, because I think last time we spoke, yeah.
Geez. It's December.
That's too long.
I know.
We've got to do this more often.
Yes,
yeah,
we
I think
do.
That's more than 6 months. Well, we promise with our new release that we have out, we're going to be, there'll be more singles in a shorter timeline.
Thank you, because you know what? This is the summer jam that I've been waiting for, because I knew that you guys were in the studio when we talked last. And you guys were so excited about what was going to be released. So it's kind of cool to be able to see this one come out now. Did you guys have a strategic plan to when you wanted to release all this?
Yeah, actually. We had a plan for releasing it on the date that we did. And we set ourselves a pretty strict timeline for how we were going to go about doing this recording. And we were very fortunate that it all went off without any hiccups.
For all of our international listeners and people that don't know Weapons yet, could you guys just give us a little bit of the background with you guys and how the band was formed?
Well, it all started out, there were three young men voyaging up the mountains. We came down from the mountain as men, with instruments in hands. Well, the band started, we were all... just like most bands, we just wanted to just make music, right? We wanted to play together. We all got along. And then when we first played together, first couple of jams, we just immediately realized, like, oh, this is pretty cool. This is different and something special. And from there, we just immediately took it on the road. It's almost like trial by fire, right? You write as many songs as you can, you know, put together a few covers too. In those early days, we started off a band and like just take it on the road and. You know, try and get your name and your music out to as many people as you possibly can.
Sometimes playing the same song three times.
Well, for you guys, being handpicked by Theory of a Dead Man, it's got to have been such a shock to you guys to be out there, because you guys are such a hard-working band. And as an independent band, it's so important for fans to understand what you guys have to do. But I've never seen a band work as hard as you guys. And then to be discovered by Theory of a Dead Man and how that all came about, talk to us about that.
The thing about being an independent band is, like, a lot of the responsibility falls on your bandmates, right? Like, it falls on you guys. Like, the decision-making process is all
up to the band, which is good. I think that, you know, in our situation, we're happy with that, you know, having this authority over our artistry. And it's also just, you know, a lot of learning and a lot of, you have to wear a lot of different hats doing that. But especially before, like, when we were first getting things going, it was kind of like we said earlier, we spent all our time on the road, like just moving everything. Our first tour we did in 2019, like we got back from that tour and started booking the next tour. Like the week after we got back from that tour, we started booking the next tour to get out there and kind of have the same market too, like just getting out with the same audience again.
Yeah, I think we definitely didn't stop. Like 2 years went by like that.
Wow.
And we went from playing, I guess, 8 people shows to like, oh, 28. And then theory happened, like, whoa, every show is sold out. That happened quick.
Well, that had to have been a huge shock. I know that it's great when you first start out and you're doing the small clubs, you're doing the small bars. When you're getting in there, it's really cool to see the response from Canadian fans and the people that got on board so fast with you. And the sound that you guys created, did you know right away that you guys were that good?
I don't think it was, I mean, not necessarily up to us, right? It's not, you know, I think we believed in our music, mm-hmm. but really it's like what the audience reaction is, right? That's the ultimate taste test, as it were. There's one song in particular that it was the opener for the show that we did on Theory, and it was actually the opener for basically every show that we did leading up to that point too. And that song was interesting because that was at that point in time like the heaviest song that Weapons had. It was really cool because it just seemed to grasp a lot of people's attention, like, and just like every age, gender, everything. We had people that just completely surprised us, being like, they were like really into that song. So it was like literally just like, yeah, trial by fire without having a huge catalog of music released. We're just writing songs and bringing them on the road, being like, what do you guys think of these? Really, really hope. Just putting it all out there, really.
Well, it pays off, right? That hard work and plan as many places that you guys did for 2 years, right? You're coming onto the stage for a 21 Canadian date tour for the Say Nothing tour, which is a world tour with Theory of a Dead Man. Getting on that stage for the first time and worrying about, do I have enough catalog out here, you know, to enthuse or to fascinate the audience to get us on board, that must have been just nerve-wracking as hell.
It's actually kind of interesting. Like, I think I'd be highly surprised if you talk to an artist who doesn't still experience stage fright. Like, it seems like everyone still experiences it. It's like one of those things that you don't quite get over. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, like leading up to the Theory tour, I think 3 of us just like grinded hard for like the entire month beforehand, just practicing everything 3 times a day, like each song like 3 times every day, and just like working that hard. And then by the time you drive out there, the first show was in Vancouver, we get on stage and it's like, oh god, and we just like did our job, and then it's like we adapt the second day and it's like, hey, we're here, this is what we're gonna do, we're gonna rock and melt faces.
It's insane, like when you look at going from where you start, you know, when you're looking at that and saying, this is what our idea is, a band, this is what the music we want to put out there, and then wind up on the stage so fast after forming the band and getting up to a huge crowd like that. I know that that can be overwhelming, but you guys put on a killer performance and the fans responded right away. So that's got to be a really amazing feeling, because your third single, Bye Bye Gone, became your first top 10, peaking at number 8 on the Canadian Active Rock charts. And then your current single, Broken Promises, peaked at number 18. And it's currently still on the top. So that says it all. That you guys have the sound that the Canadian fans have been looking for in rock music. So how does that feel for you and the band, Jordan?
That, like, these things were all happening all kind of at the same time. And I remember when we were out on the tour, it was all happening so fast, mm-hmm. and so much to take in. It was amazing. It was really overwhelming just to see, like, the, even just, like, the social media feed, like, blowing up with people just who didn't know who we were, and just taking videos of us and sharing that, and, like, you know, having honest impressions, or, like, people just coming to, like,
somebody was buying our merch after the show. Mm-hmm. You know, they were a band that they weren't out there necessarily to see, or they're there to see Theory, but to, like, you know, have positive response from their fans, that was really, really cool. And which, you know, we finished up that tour right before the pandemic restrictions set in. So we were lucky because I think maybe 2 weeks before Canada started to really shut down with everything. And with that, we didn't see any, dwindling attendance or anything like that. Like, the attendance was starting to be affected by, you know, the kind of the looming pandemic that was coming up in the news and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we were fortunate in that regard. Then we get home, and then, you know, shortly after She Was the One came off the charts, we released By a Baby Gone. And then we didn't know what was going to happen because at this stage we don't have the ability to tour to support it. And yeah, it was just really, really cool to see how well that song did. And it's given the times, given everything, you know.
Yeah, because it's when you're looking at, you know, coming off a road, you know, with that kind of momentum off the tour, and then to turn around with the pandemic, as you said, you guys were really fortunate to be able to finish that tour and come back in and not have to worry about, oh man, is that tour going to get shut down like everybody else has had, you know, in 2020. You guys were writing like crazy and playing, but, you know, it's such a different feel. Did the pandemic affect your creativity and how you guys were writing?
If anything, it's helped. I think as hard as just, like, always being so busy and, like, being on the road for the 2 years prior, like, I think it's actually kind of been great that, like, we've been able to put some of our time into some of the other aspects we haven't had as much time with, so that's how we were able to write a bunch of songs for the new EP, and we still have a whole pit of other songs that we still haven't even touched yet that have just come from this pandemic, and, like, even radio pushing and all that. Like, we just grinded in so many other ways just to keep busy, and we're really fortunate to have been able to stay busy. That everything that we've done is just it's been good.
I bet, Mick, you know, because, you know, when you're coming off tour, like, if the pandemic didn't happen, it's so difficult, you know, when you're getting that momentum. And as you said, everything's so overwhelming, coming at you guys so fast, not having the time to write, just take a breather to be able to say, okay, you know what, hang on a second, get the noise out of the way and be able to sit back and create and produce, to get into the studio and get recording. It's just so much of a grind. And so many people just don't realize when you're independent, what it costs, what it takes, because you don't have a label sitting there behind you. And you guys have done this. You should be so proud of yourselves, you know, to do this independently as you have. And very few artists do that. You know, very few bands are able to say that. And you guys have hit the top of the chart, top 30s, each and every time, staying up there. And that is an incredible feat and just a great accomplishment. I'm telling you, you guys are just something special.
Thanks so much. Just like to rock.
And we like the rock and roll. This girl does, that's for darn sure. Now, you guys won Pop Artist of the Year at the Saskatchewan Music Awards. You're nominated again for Alternative Artist of the Year. Pretty sweet.
Yeah, Saskatchewan Music Awards honored us with the Rock Pop Artist of the Year for 2020. And we were surprised we got the nomination for Alternative Artist as well. It's... I don't really know what to say with it. It was really, it was surprising, and we were, you know, very honored to receive the award, especially amidst, you know, some other great bands who were contending with that too. It's especially because it's from our province, and, you know, we have, you know, a large amount of support here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool to see, you know, things kind of play out like that.
Saskatoon has really been putting out some great music out there. And some great artists. It's pretty cool to see so many great acts that are coming out of there. Now, you guys were featured in Hockey Night in Canada on January 16th of this year, rocking it. I'm telling you. What about that one, Mick? What did that feel like for you guys in the band?
It was pretty cool. I guess I've never really been a sports guy. I always preferred to do finger kicking instead of soccer kicking. But, like, I guess even as a kid, like, even playing or watching, like, the odd hockey game, and hearing like some of your favorite songs like being played as like a victory song or something like that, and then like, oh damn, now that's my band song doing that. Like, it's just like one of those little like, ah, that's cool, I didn't know I'd do that when I was younger moments.
It's got to feel so cool because you guys have done so much. Our 1.7 million combined streams on Spotify, 2019 Queen City Rock winners, selected as 2020 Breakout West Highlight Artist. The list goes on and on. And you guys just started.
Yeah, I mean, it's reinforcing, I think, for us too. And like, in, being an artist is it's an interesting, I guess, endeavor because it's something that, in some cases, depending on what you're doing, like, there's a relationship there, right? Like, it's like live music, for example. Like, you know, like a rock show, like, specifically a rock show. It's a show where you're playing, and, like, there's an interaction that happens between the performer and the audience, right?
Mm-hmm, the chemistry.
So, yeah, so, like, to have, like, you know, to receive these accolades as we've been going along at a relatively, you know, early state in our band, it's cool to have that reinforcement because it's a form of like acknowledgement or something that we can look at that's a little bit tangible and it kind of reinforces us as we're going along too. You know, it's really flattering and really, yeah, it's an honor, you know, to get these kind of nods as you go along. And ultimately, it just what we were just hoping for is to continue to have and eventually get back to playing live shows, but continue to have that relationship with our audience.
Mm-hmm. To have that kind of feedback has just got to be, you know, pretty surreal. And you guys have been working back in the studio, like Juno Award-winning studio, working with John Angus McDonald, producing, and Colin McDonald from The Trues, one of my favorite all-time bands. To be able to have that endorsement from John Angus, because I know that he worked on your first couple singles, and, you know, to be working with him and doing that kind of work at that kind of caliber in the studio, what did that feel like walking in and working with these two?
It's pretty surreal, I guess, like, even to go back on childhood, like, one of my first songs that I loved as a kid watching on, like, Much Music was Not Ready to Go, and I always remember the music video scared me, weren't they in, like, a puppet theater or something? And then fast forward to, like, 16, 18 years later, and like, whoa, you're working with those guys.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, again, like, one of those things that you don't foresee happening, and then it happens, and then, like, sometimes it's easy to get caught up some because, like, you're in work mode mm-hmm. all the time, and sometimes you don't even get the proper moment to, like, look back on, like, that's what your band just did. So then when you think back on it, it's like, whoa, that was such a neat foreshadowing, and it's great working with them because they're honest, good to work with guys. They always mm-hmm. say never meet your heroes, but they're just, when you talk to them, when you're working with them, you can just tell everybody who's writing there, like, they're in for the same thing. They just want to make a good rock song.
Mm-hmm. And they're great mentors. Like, John and Colin are incredible when it comes to being able to help artists coming through. But they have stood the test of time when it comes to staying on top. And The Trues are so well respected. And so to be able to have that kind of mentorship is pretty cool, especially when you guys are starting out and you haven't been in the business that long, and to be able to have this kind of huge success. They are amazing to be able to talk to have that feedback from them, and just that soundboard to be able to talk to them about maybe being overwhelmed, right? Because you guys hit so fast and so hard, and then just being able to take back, like you said, Mick, to be able to enjoy a moment on stage. You guys really haven't had that chance yet. And maybe this break with the pandemic has been able to do that. So you guys are, you know, set a new gear and being able to come in fresh and being able to really be able to see the music, see everything that's happening around you, and live in that special moment.
I think we're all excited to get back to live performance for us. And we actually do have a show coming up with The Trues, and we're really excited for it. It's going to be a live stream show.
Oh.
And, yeah, and then at the end of the summer, we're doing a drive-in show. And yeah, so they're going to be different experiences for us because we haven't performed this, right? They are music, when they brought music back again. It's like, it's all really so collaborative. It's so, like, the audience and the musician, the audience and the musician, right? And there's a lot of moments of that, and that's, you know, really an important part of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So these are kind of, like, interesting transitional steps towards actually getting back to doing, you know, mm-hmm. a full-on live show. Like, even the cars, you know, it's going to be a situation where people are going to be honking and, like, instead of cheering.
Yeah, because you guys haven't experienced that yet, have you?
Nothing like that, no.
Yeah, because you're going from a huge live audience off of the stages you've been on and then going into a drive-in show. It's just such a difference in contrast. And the same thing, you know, with the virtual performances, you know, on live streaming to being able to be out on the stage with that chemistry and that connection with the audience, seeing their faces and seeing, you know, the response and anybody singing along to your songs. It is such a hard adjustment to have.
Yeah, totally. Especially with, like, you know, we've done video shoots and things like that too, but this is going to be different, right? Because we know, especially with the live stream concert, for example, you know there's other people on the other side. There you hope. You hope there's other people on the other side of the camera watching, right? But it's almost like, yeah, like you're a different frame of mind because there's not that ability to, you know, like, oh, let's do another take. It's like, no, this is a performance. It's different. It's not necessarily a recording. So it's an interesting mindset. It's something that's kind of fresh. Sure.
I know I was speaking with Alan Frew on the show, and he was doing his very first live stream. I remember the anxiety he had going in and how's this going to work, you know, because they're so used to having sold out audiences. And it's just incredible to see the difference just for veterans going into this and never being able to think about doing a live stream like that. But technology has certainly aided and helped artists that are up and coming and wanting to get out there and put out new music, because without that, during the shutdown, you know, so many of the fans have been so dedicated to get online and watch these shows. So you guys have to be so grateful, at least, you know, for technology right now and what the video streaming has been.
Yeah, for sure. And that's exactly it. No matter the size of the audience, whoever's buying those tickets, they're buying those tickets because they want rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're all ready to give them some rock. We're going to give it our all for sure.
Now, talking about rocking, you guys have been working with a Juno Award winning, like he's just the crown jewel when it comes to country music. Yeah, like two of them, actually, Dan Davidson and Clayton Bellamy from the Roadhammers. And for you guys to be able to work with them writing, what was that like? Because they're on this album too.
You wouldn't exactly think that, like, rock and roll guys would get along with country guys, but there really is a lot to be learned from country songwriting mindset. Like, just one thing's for sure, like, country knows how to get the lyrics. They just bring it right down.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple. It's clear. Like, it's awesome. So it's great to have that perspective. And Clayton and Dan, they're both rock guys at heart, so it's really easy for us to get into a songwriting mode with them. And again, we just all want to make a good rock and roll song.
Mm-hmm. They're country royalty, you know, and I know Dan coming from rock, I knew him back when he was playing in the other band, and then to come in and see him 5 years in country to see how well he's done was no surprise to me. But Clayton, he's had his hand in so many different pots and so many different genres, but rock is just a natural fit, you know, for people to be able to sit down and write with him. He is a genius, and as I said, country royalty for sure. Now, you guys have just released your first single from your upcoming album, Adios Radio, so Unnecessary Evil. Tell us about the idea behind this. Talk about your title for Adios Radio, where that came from.
Well, so Unnecessary Evil is a song about having the wind taken out of your sails, which I think is something that everyone can relate to from the pandemic, right? It's like, you know, it's exactly what we were speaking about. We're coming back from, you know, the intense, you know, the intensity of the theory tour, and then coming back and just like, whoa, what do we do now? I mean, and I'm going to go through that and go through that and figure it out. So that was, I guess, kind of the lyrical backing for that one. And musically, that one, like, it's, you know, just a driving rock song. I mean, we really went for something that was very, very, you know, just purely a rock tune with that one. And yeah, I guess, you know, talking about the Adios Radio, like the decision for that name, I guess it's kind of like a tongue-in-cheek approach to, you know, the people make the comment about, you know, rock and roll being dead, and it's very clearly not dead. And that's kind of the same sentiment with Adios Radio. It's like everyone's going over to streaming, and everything's going over to digital platforms, but there's still something really magic about when your favorite song comes on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's and to me, it's very different in the a la carte age where you can basically pick and choose whatever you want. Hearing your song, like your specific song, but your, you know what I mean, your song that you really, really, really like, you know, you love, your favorite song.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to come on the radio, it's like back to this. It's akin to this. This might sound super weird, but one of my joys in life is when you go into a hotel room, and you turn on the TV because very few people have cable anymore. Your favorite show, one of your favorite movies, is on. Like there are very few joys. Like I can watch Dumb and Dumber any point in time, but if I go into a hotel room and Dumb and Dumber happens to be on TV, it's like this is awesome. I have to watch Dumb and Dumber. Same thing, right? Like. Sweet Child of Mine comes on the radio. It's like, yeah, well, this is Sweet Child of Mine. It's turned up. That's like one of my favorite songs. It's a similar idea. It's like the song goes to radio that is not in the hand bed.
Oh, you know what? Rock and roll is never going to get old. And to be able to, as I said, the anthem music, you guys just fit right in there, you know, with this one. And I know that so many people are going to relate to this. So we're going to play it right now. And this is Unnecessary Evil by Saskatoon rock sensation Weapons right here on Music's Journey.
I can't wait for a knock at the door.
The new EP, Adios Radio. That is Weapons with Unnecessary Evil. And I've got to say, man, there's a lot of unnecessary evil in the video for that song.
You took my line.
Wow.
You took my line. There is definitely some unnecessary evil going on there. That looked like so much fun to make. Tell us about making this video.
I definitely had an unnecessary headache.
What was consumed? Who knows?
Oh, it was from the sun. I'm sure it was from the sun.
Yeah, I think I definitely got heat stroke for that video.
Tell us about this, Mick, when you guys were the horsing around and everything that you guys were doing. Who came up with the concept for the whole thing?
I think it was kind of a bit of a group concept. We worked with Prehistoric Productions, also out of Saskatoon. They're a video production company that just, like, we get along with really well, and, like, we just bounce ideas off each other, and, like, yeah, I'm,
unnecessary.
It's funny that, like, you're kind of getting drunk unnecessarily, like, just binge drinking and going mad nuts, like Jordan puking into the toilet and whatever. I don't know, it's just like,
and that's what the toilet scene was.
Yeah. Like, one thing's for sure is, like, we wanted this song to be energetic. We wanted it to be like a summer anthem, and then we wanted the video to kind of replicate that. Like, we just wanted it to be fun. We wanted it to be reminiscent of what a summer should look like, and I think and hope it captured that quite nicely.
I think so. Without a doubt, you guys definitely succeeded on that one. It's like the perfect storm, you guys are.
Bust out Palm Bays in the kiddie pool.
In the kiddie pool. That looked like so much fun. I absolutely loved it when I was watching it. I went, yep, that's definitely the weapons. That perfect storm just hit. So what did you guys feel when you saw the response, the feedback from the video?
We tried to, I think we released it in time for Me Long Weekend, because that was the idea, right? Like, it's just like, what does everyone want to do right now? You know, get together and have some beers and have fun. And we're just hoping to, you know, kind of keep that spirit alive in people too, you know, especially like, you know, in locations where people are really locked down right now, it's like, you know, remind them, like, hey, things are going to get better, things are going to open up, and, like, we're going to be able to have a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Just a reminder for everybody to, you know, that this is the time now. We've got the warm weather. We can still do it safely, but we can also have, you know, a really good time. You know, it's just about state of mind and being able to bring back that just little bit of infusion of fun. So that's exactly what this song represents. And so does the video. It's just so cool. Now, you guys have been doing so much when it comes to the charities, and that's really nice, you know, to see that you guys have taken that time. You've been really active when it comes to helping out some different charities along the way. Your current one right now, which is so funny watching the video that you guys posted on your Facebook, for the challenge for the mental health fundraiser. Talk to me about that one, Mick.
We were nominated for this challenge by our good buddy Sam. And yeah, like, I think mental health is probably one of the most relevant subjects out there right now. Like, mm-hmm. I think literally everyone has experienced a bit of a downfall in mental health, especially over COVID, sometimes even before that. Like, so it's a thing that I think has been ignored for a while, to some extent. So yeah, just to help further get the word out there that, like, your mental health is important, and we support it. We want to raise awareness for, yeah, like, this is an important thing. Don't feel down just because you're feeling down. You know, so I think even in a couple of our videos, we kind of try and make it like and fun as always, because we like to have a good time. We definitely like to laugh ourselves.
Well, laughter is really good, right? Especially, you know, when it comes to anything that you're dealing with, you know, that it might be pulling you in a different direction, but that laughter seems to be able to just give you that snap to bring you back, you know, to be able to laugh again and to be able to have some fun. And you guys delivered that with your little, with your clips for Facebook. It was so funny.
We hope so. So yeah, we just want to spread a positive message as much as we can. And I guess my way of doing that is by playing a 12-year-old game that's about fitness.
I can't help but laugh because I still see you going up and down. It was so funny. It was so funny. I'm looking at that and just seeing the responses, and just, you know, it just helps people just to know what, you know, life might get serious, and I know everything that we're going through, but being able to walk through it knowing that, you know what, hey, I got through it today. If I got through it today and this is my worst moment, I can get through it tomorrow. And it just exactly. gives you hope at the end of the tunnel, because we've talked a lot about it in the last, you know, 8 months, 9 months, when it comes to mental illness and, you know, people that didn't even know that they had it, you know, they weren't confined the way that they are, you know, and the way that it has been in this past year. So things that, you know, people were discovering about themselves. And, you know, when you don't have that distraction to be able to go out and be with friends and do other things, you know, it's taken on a different meaning because you can't get away from it. You're in the same place, you know, it's not going anywhere. You're not with your friends. You're not doing the things you normally do. People disconnect a lot, you know, during COVID because they weren't able to speak and go out and see their friends the same. Everybody kind of went into their own bubble. So even best friends weren't talking as often. So there was a lot of loss along the way. So people were discovering, you know, what they were feeling during that time was something they've never felt before. So this is just that perfect, you know, laughter and just a great 25-day challenge that you guys are doing right now. And just watching you guys, we'll keep watching the video clips that you guys keep putting up because they are so funny. I love them.
Yeah, definitely good to hear.
Yeah, keep doing it. You know what? It just makes us laugh, and it's just so cool. Now, you guys have also been working towards, as you said, some live shows are coming up. Again, tell everybody what you've got coming.
Well, I guess...
a lot.
Yeah, an overwhelming amount.
An overwhelming dead silence.
Whole music scene, like the business, I think everyone's still kind of figuring it out, but it's so great to see scrolling through Instagram that, like, oh, okay, people are making plans to go on tour, and I still have my ZZ Top ticket that I'm definitely gonna go to when they,
oh, nice.
When they can come to Saskatoon, so I'm holding on to that, and we're definitely ready to rock at any time that we can hit the road again. But for now, yeah, we, as previously mentioned, we have the Shrews live stream coming up. We're still waiting to finalize certain details there. And then there's going to be the drive-in. And then, yeah, we should have a couple other things down the road for us coming soon. So.
Very cool.
Things start to, like, open up and roll out, too. I think it might be, that might pose more opportunities for us. Mm-hmm. And I guess even right now that we have the EP out, too, which... already released the first single to radio, and you know, hoping everyone gets a chance to hear that song. And if you haven't taken a listen, please go take a listen to the new EP, to the new songs. Mm-hmm. The first time we've actually released a collection, like more than one song at a time, because we've actually just released singles up until this point. So yeah, it's up until we can actually get out to everyone and see it face to face. You know, God knows, maybe we'll swear on each other because it'd be a rock show.
Is that the silver lining?
The extra bonus to the tickets you can pay for that, but you got it anyways.
I'm telling you. I can't wait myself because we haven't seen, like, John and I are usually in the pits, you know, as well as me doing the interviews and stuff, but we haven't been able to shoot for such a long time. I don't even know if we've even remembered the last time we were doing it. It's been like a year and a half.
I'm going to have to oil the camera.
I think so, or something.
I think I probably even forget how to go to a concert at this point. Might just be like that awkward moment of like, oh, where do I put my hands? Like, how does this work?
Where do I put my hands?
Yeah.
That's so funny. That's
so funny. Do I clap? Do I keep them in my pocket?
Am I supposed to hit the horn? What am I supposed to do? Yeah, I know. It's a rough one, but you know what? We are just so glad that things are starting to open up, and we can't wait to see you guys play live. As I said, you guys are killer, you know, when it comes to performing on stage. So that is something we all get to look forward to. Are you guys okay to do a couple of questions? You know, these are the burning questions portion of the interview.
Yeah, I think so, for sure. If we're not, then we'll say no.
Nope, you can't do that. No.
Yeah. Those are the rules.
That's right. These are the rules. You must answer every question I give you. Okay. All right. First question. Weirdest request by a fan on tour, Mick?
Weirdest request?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, it's been so long, I can't even think of a time. definitely been asked to... sign some weird places.
Yeah, that's a standard. Those ones always come up every single time. What about you, Jordan?
Request. I don't know. Like, I think I've been pretty fortunate. There's been nothing too weird. There's one person who insisted, I guess this wasn't really a request, maybe it was the other end of it, but like I just complimented someone on their person, like, oh, it's really cool. And they like insisted that I keep it. They're like, oh, it's for you, it's yours. I'm like, okay. I didn't know what to do with the thing, too, because I kind of wore it. I'm like, ah, it's kind of cool. And I just had it, and it was like, and I had this bracelet that I'm just like, this is so obvious. In the moment, it's like, oh, this is awesome. And I'm like, this is so obviously, like, a very effeminate bracelet. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I just didn't know. Sorry, but it was like, it's like, oh, no, like, this is your bracelet now. Like, oh, okay. I think she's actually even signed it for me.
They don't want you to forget them.
I gave you that bracelet.
They were dying to get rid of it.
Yeah, it may have been mixed bracelets.
Okay, so funniest prank played by a band member. Mick?
That is also a good question. There was one time Talis taped me to my seat when we were driving out.
Those are the pranks I love so much.
Yeah, he taped my face right up, tousled my hair a bit. That was fun.
Oh, that must have hurt coming off. What about you, Jordan?
Oh, man. Like, I've witnessed some good pranks. I don't know if you're... I'm trying to think if there's anything old.
We definitely had fun pranks played on us by a band.
Yeah.
Who was it, and what was it?
When Theory put the Chili Peppers in our microphones, that's probably up there. That was, Theory's crew pranked us so good on the last day, like the last show we did in Barry. And it was like, to the point where it was like, oh, it was very difficult to get through the set, partially because, like, for example, like, Tal's kick pedal and his drumsticks were all lubricated and fast. But, like, before we started, Tal passed me the drumstick. I went to grab. He's like, "Here, hold this." You're trying to get everything set up quick on stage. You're just like, "Wait, help me, bandmate." So I quickly grabbed this tape, not thinking any twice about it. And it was covered in dust. My hand was then covered in dust. I'm like, "Oh, damn it!" Like, then go to sing and like, and yeah, our microphones had chili peppers. So it was just like, there was a guy that was in front of that. It's just like. She's like, "How are you guys okay?" She asked me something like that. Yeah, watch. Like, I can tell something was up. It was. She's like, "Yeah, your lips were red around while you were singing. Like, you looked like you were in pain." And yeah, like my hair was falling into the microphone. It was getting into my eyes. And there's like this whole chili pepper thing going on our faces. It was hilarious. It's just that they were flashing strobe lights in our faces. Like,
oh,
I think
God.
It was tough to get through the set just because we were laughing so.
See, I would have been on the ground. I wouldn't have been able to perform one bit. I would have been on the floor killing myself laughing. That would have been it.
I feel bad for Barry. Like, we need a redo on that show. Cause, like, it's really difficult to keep it together.
I bet. Thank you guys once again. I hope you guys come back the moment you got that new music and show dates, okay?
Absolutely. Cam, John, thank you guys so much for having us.
Thanks, guys.
Really appreciate it. You guys are amazing. Love you guys. Give everybody a hug, and we can't wait to see you out there live.
Adios.
Absolutely, guys. Okay. Can't wait to see you in person. Have
yes. Sounds good to me. Okay. All right. Take care, guys.
Talk soon. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A great big thank you to my very special guests, Mick and Jordan from the trio Weapons, for coming onto the show today. I'm your host, Kim Sear. I want to remind fans to purchase, download Weapons' brand new single, Unnecessary Evil. Such a great summertime jam. It's perfect right now. So add it to your streaming platforms, add it to your playlist, and share it. You can also call your local radio station and request it to be added to the rotation. If you enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving us a rating and a review. The more positive the rating, the easier it is to find the show, and it really helps grow the community that we are developing here. If you are somebody who has recently found the podcast, welcome, and we really We are really excited to have you here, so please make sure you subscribe and stay tuned to future episodes. To everybody listening to today's podcast with the weapons, please take a snapshot and post it to your Instagram story and hashtag Music's Journey Podcast, Now and Then Magazine, and Weapons, and that is spelled W3APONS. These guys are amazing, and I will feature you on one of the future podcasts. Thank you once again for tuning in to Music's Journey Podcast and sharing a little bit of your time with us and welcoming us into your homes, anywhere that you're listening to this podcast, your cars, or just sitting out in the backyard and enjoying the sun. We really appreciate each and every one of you. We have some great shows coming up for you, bringing you some of the artists that you absolutely love. Stereos is going to be here. Jason Blake, Lane, Jamie Warren, The Heels, Carly Aikens, Savillain, Oliver Charles, and so many more. So if you have any questions to any of the artists that you've heard that are coming up on future podcasts, please make sure you send us a few questions. We'll gladly ask them for you. So we'll try to get in as many as we can. So thank you once again. I'm your host, Kim Sear. Stay safe, have some fun, and enjoy each other. Thank you so much. We'll see you on the next one.
Once again, a huge thank you to the guys of Weapons for chatting with us today on Music's Journey. The Music's Journey podcast is brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com. You can listen to all our podcasts on Google Podcast, Spotify, Amazon Music, Player FM, TuneIn and Alexa, Deezer, and Podchaser. Our theme song is titled I Can Tell by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of your host, Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.